Thank you very much. Somebody yesterday said that in talking about the Helsinki meetings, we should not benefit too much from hindsight. We know, or we think we know, that it was a success. I do think it's very important to put the whole thing into a context, which we tend to lose sight of. Every now and again we get brought back to the context. But we should think about what actually did happen after 1975. What happened after 1975 was a number of things. One of them was the arrival in Washington of President Ford and the B-team under Professor Pipes and his merry men, who introduced a completely different concept of what the relationship with the Soviet Union should be like. It was about that time that we in the Foreign Office were told we were never again to use the word détente in any official document. So that was one thing that happened. The next thing that happened, Carter came to power and almost immediately was deeply shocked and surprised by the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. That's the next thing that happened, which affected quite severely a man who was not of the persuasion of the B team. In the early 80s, we had Reagan with the surreal debate, which probably nobody remembers, about Minuteman vulnerability, the idea that at any moment, in 5 minutes' time, all the land-based missiles in America could be destroyed by a Soviet strike. Reagan and the evil empire, and what's more, not only the evil empire, but another thing which anybody who was in Washington at the time will remember, was Reagan chatting away to his friends on Sundays, saying he expects there to be an Armageddon in his lifetime. And then, of course, the great row about SS-22s and Pershings. That all happened after 1975. At the beginning of 1980, in his diary, a rather good British historian, Timothy Garton Ash, put in his diary that he expected there to be a nuclear war before the decade was out. So the mood actually didn't last very long. One point. Another point in which I somewhat align myself with our Russian friends' interpretation, if I've understood one of the elements in that interpretation. When I was in Poland in the late 50s, early 60s, everybody's forgotten now, but it was the Poles who invented socialism with the human face. It was the Poles who made the first breakthrough in the direction of a kind of liberalization in practice. But the Poles used to say that this will not last until there is change in Moscow. It's always going to be insecure. And of course, subsequent events, 1968, demonstrated that the Poles were right. So I think the real background to the changes which took place over a very long period, actually that process began on the 6th of March 1953, that's to say the day after the death of Stalin. That's when it began. And it culminated, of course, in 1992, it's a wholly different story, but the Gorbachev affair, and just a final thought that in 1988, that's to say, however many years it was by then, after the first Helsinki, there were still very many refuseniks in the Soviet Union who were not allowed out. They were allowed out in the years after 1988. So I do think one needs to look at this event, which of course was an important event, in a very much wider context. The Year of Europe, the MBFR negotiations, and this whole process that was going on in the East and above all in Russia, without which we wouldn't be here today, I don't think.
Thank you very much, Ambassador Braithwaite. And if nobody from the diplomatic panel wants to speak, I would switch to the debate. Saying first of all that unfortunately Ambassador Siegfried Bock has to leave us for logistical problems, I mean for his train or plane to go, and so for our procedure I might suggest that the first question to be asked might be one of Ben Shepherds, who's directing it to him, if I'm not mistaken. So I give the floor to Ben Shepherds. Schaeffer. We'll wait for the prime microphone. Thank you.